12 extraordinary women of the Bible, great women of great faith. And this morning we're going to learn about a lady by the name of Lydia. And so you can turn with me to the book of Acts in your Bible this morning. Acts chapter 16, verses 11 through 15. As many of you know, the book of Acts is the start of the early church. This story takes place about, probably somewhere between 30 and 40 years after the death of Jesus Christ. And so it's going to involve Paul and some other disciples that are traveling with him. And so they're on his second missionary journey. And so if you understand Paul's missionary journeys, Paul's pretty gung-ho about getting out and spreading the word of God and meeting new people and starting churches. And so this is one of the places that he goes to, Philippi, which we'll learn more about in our message today of what this all involves and what happens within this church. And Lydia is a key player in this first European church. And so we're going to learn about her life today. And so let's take a moment and read scripture today from Acts 16, verses 11 through 15. From Tros we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day on to Neapolis. From there we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony, and the leading city of that district of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. The reading of the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we've heard from your word this morning, may you bring that word to life through your Holy Spirit. And Lord, so I ask for that Spirit today to empower us. Lord, may you fill me with that same Spirit as I deliver this message today to your people. And Lord, may those who have gathered here hear your word today. May it fall fresh on their ears and on their thoughts and in their souls. May you teach them and may you challenge them in their faith. May you encourage them to walk this faith with you. In Jesus we pray these things. Amen. How many of you would consider yourself to be a good listener this morning? Anybody want to make that claim today of being a good listener in your life? So I got a few questions I'm going to throw past you this morning to think about. Now, here's an interesting thing that I found out this morning. Did you know that your mind thinks four times faster than the person that's speaking to you? Now, that can be a little bit of a challenge, can it? When the person that's speaking to you and you're trying to pull those words in, your mind is four times faster than what they can speak to you. Sometimes that can create a few problems for us, can it? Yes. So men, listen up here. I struggle with this. Sometimes when my wife is speaking to me, sometimes I might get a little distracted and think about other things, and I don't always pick up what she's saying. Or I don't tune in enough to know what she's actually trying to tell me. Do any of you struggle with that? Hey, we got one or two back there. That's good. I'm not the only one here this morning. But you see what happens in our life. And so sometimes we're not good listeners. So here's a few more questions for you this morning. Do you listen primarily for facts rather than ideas when someone is speaking? Do you try to sort through and just pull out the important stuff and that's all you hear when you listen to somebody speak to you? Do you avoid listening to things you feel will be too difficult to understand? Or maybe you don't want nothing to do with it, so you kind of listen and pay attention, but you really tune the person out in your life. Or how about this one? Can you tell from a person's appearance and delivery that there won't be anything worthwhile said? So you blow them off and you don't listen to what they have to say to you. When someone is talking to you, Do you appear to be paying attention when you're really not? Now, I know that we could all hang our hat on all those things this morning, because we've probably always done those things in our life in certain occasions to different people that we come into contact with. We're all at fault for those types of things. But I would consider Lydia to be a very good listener. Lydia overheard a conversation that changed her life forever. And believe it or not, by the end of this message, you're going to realize that her life changing, also it's changed your life. Right now, today, here in Inwood, Iowa. Lydia lived in the city of Philippi, the region of Macedonia. It's in the continent of Europe. So that's important for you to know and to understand that this morning. And I'm sorry that this map is a little bit small, but we'll go through this and you'll understand. On the bottom right corner, you see the city of Jerusalem there in the red dot. And if you follow across, you'll see a red arrow. And that points to the city of Philippi, where Lydia actually lived. And she did business there. Now today, this country would be known as the country of Greece. So if you go home and look up your world map and you find the country of Greece, this is where Lydia would have lived and did business, right along the shoreline there of the sea. Now Philippi, it's a bustling town. It's a busy community placed on a trade route between Thessalonica and the seaport of Neapolis, which we just read in the scripture this morning. So this town sits between there. But that's not where Lydia grew up, nor was she born there. Lydia was born in Asia Minor, the province of Lydia. And so we'll talk about her name in just a minute. Her hometown was Thyatira. Now, you can't see that on the map this morning, but Thyatira is one of the seven churches in the book of Revelation that John writes a letter to the church in Thyatira. This is where Lydia grew up, in that town, as a young lady. She probably started business there, and she made a move, we don't know when, to the city of Philippi to continue in her business. And you'll learn her business here in just a little bit. Her name actually means unknown. The province of Lydia, if you look at that in the Hebrew words, would mean unknown. And so that's where her name came from, unknown. Now I told you Lydia was a businesswoman who moved to Philippi, and she sold purple clothing and Tyrene dye. What do you know about purple clothing and the era that they lived in? What's that? Royalty. What kind of clothes do royalty wear? Rags? Riches, right? Very expensive cloth. Purple dye in her era and her culture, Tyrene dye, would have been one of the most cherished and most expensive items that you could ever have in your home. In fact, a lot of people didn't even have this type of dye, or a lot of people never even had purple clothing. It was that rare and that expensive. And so Lydia's business was in the business of selling purple cloth that people could make things out of, and Tyrene dye, that they could actually buy this expensive dye from her, take it home and make their own purple clothes if that's what they desired. That's the kind of person that Lydia was. And so we know some things about Lydia from that. She was prosperous. She was probably a wealthy woman as well to be able to afford these types of things in her life and to run this type of business. Now, there's no mention in Scripture that she's married. We don't hear of a husband. But we do hear of her household. Notice that it said that her whole household was baptized. So we could assume that she might have had some adult children that lived with her, or she might have had some servants that helped her in the business. We don't know for sure. But there was people that lived under the same roof as that she did, that helped her with her business and so on, that she ran out of the city of Philippi. And get this, Lydia was a Gentile living in the city of Philippi. Now, we're going to learn a little bit more about Philippi here in a moment as well. But Philippi is predominantly a Gentile city. Not a big city, but a prosperous city sitting on crossroads that Lydia worked in. We also learned this morning that Lydia was a believer in Yahweh. How many years did I say after Jesus died that this took place? 30 years after Jesus died. Lydia, being a Gentile, was a believer in Yahweh. Now, who would at that time would have believed in Yahweh yet? Would have worshipped Yahweh? So the church hasn't fully started yet. And so who would have believed in Yahweh yet? What are the name of those people? Real simple. The Jews, exactly, the Israelites, the people of God. And so Lydia would gather with the Jewish women for prayer because she believed in God. Let me back up and rephrase that. She's beginning to understand who God was in her life. Didn't know everything yet. But she hung out with some Jewish women in the city of Philippi. Now, here's some of the issues we have. We learn in Scripture this morning that the city of Philippi was a Gentile colony with little Jewish population. And so we don't hear of a synagogue there. A synagogue would have been their church where they would have worshipped from day to day and so on, would have met on the Sabbath. Jewish law required that it took 10 Jewish men to have a synagogue. There was less than 10 men in the city of Philippi. And so if that was the case, get this, the men were not required to gather, but the women could pray. The women could gather and pray. The men would have to do their own prayers on their own time, individually with Yahweh and so on. And so the women, they were allowed to gather. Now, there was not a synagogue in the area, and so there would have been this place of gathering that Paul talked about, that he would have left the city, and he would have went outside to the river to find this group of women praying. Lydia often gathered with this group of women. And so Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke, all four of them, they show up on the Sabbath day. What day would the Sabbath been for the Jewish people? Saturday morning. They would have left the city and they would have gathered by the shore of this river to meet with these ladies, these four disciples, and they went there to start having a conversation to tell them about who Jesus Christ was. That's where it starts. Now, why would Paul do this? Okay? Now, Paul, when he's on a second missionary journey, his method of operation, his MO would have been to find a small group of Jewish people, talk about Jesus Christ to them, with the hope of converting them, to kind of build a little bit of a quorum that would help him in the city to get out the word of Jesus Christ. And so he goes to this group of women, mostly Jewish women except for Lydia, and he begins to have a conversation with these women, and he begins to tell them the story of who Jesus is and what he had done for them on the cross some 30 years prior to that. The forgiveness of sins, salvation, eternal life through Jesus Christ. And you can about imagine that these ladies are all gathered there and they're listening to Paul and they're having a conversation with him. And then Lydia, who's not a Jew, is probably standing in the background just a little bit, and she's listening to every word Paul says. Every word that Paul says. Acts 16, verse 14 says this. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message, and she accepted Jesus Christ on the bank of that river, right there, right then. She became a believer in Jesus Christ. God drew her in. And so let me share a few things with you this morning that we need to realize that our faith is the work of God in our lives. A lot of times we think that we bring ourselves to that point where we read Scripture and we pray and we understand our faith, but you need to realize that our faith is definitely only from the work of the Holy Spirit in your life that brings that faith alive within your heart. It's the work of God, the Father in heaven. That's a gift from God. And you need to understand that in your life. It's not something that you do on your own. Now, you have a part in that. You have a part to be open to what God's teaching you or drawing you into within your faith life. And the Holy Spirit's working. We've seen it in the life of Lydia in her life. This is God's gift to us. We become His children and believe in His Son, Jesus Christ, through the work of God. And so when we stand and worship God and we sang this morning, those songs come from our heart. Of who God our Father is in heaven. He's brought you to this place. He's changed your heart. He's changed your life. He's given you eternal life. No one else has. So how do we express our thankfulness to God? We worship, don't we? We worship. We sing out praise to God. We pray to God. We're thankful to God for the things that He's done in our lives. And so on. God's grace, His salvation, does not push people to faith. It gently pulls them into faith in their lives. And we see that with Lydia this morning. You know, one thing that I've learned, and you've probably noticed this too, when you have the Christian faith, when you meet people that do not have a faith, the things you do, the things you say, the way you act, they make no sense to those people, do they? They often think, well, what is that person doing? You're praying to who? And so when you're filled with the Spirit of God, by God, you operate on a different level in this world because of your faith. And those who are not filled with the Spirit of God, their eyes are blinded to those things. They do not understand how you operate or function and why you would pray to a God. Get that. Realize that. So when you come across things in this world and they're hard things and you might think to yourself, why would somebody do that to somebody else? Why would somebody want to hurt somebody else? That's because of the evilness that we live in the world today. They don't understand who God is. They don't understand what faith looks like in their lives. And I know that you'll struggle with some of those things when you go through life. You experience different things. You experience different people from time to time. And you wonder, why do those people do such things? Because of the evilness that we live in. They don't always know. And so let me ask you a question this morning. On the bottom of the screen, I told you that Lydia was beginning to have her heart open, and so she'd gather with these Jewish women on the bank of that river to learn more about Yahweh. And then she hears Paul come in and the rest of his disciples, and they start to speak about Jesus Christ, and her life is forever changed. So here's my question for you this morning. Are you a seeker like Lydia was? She sought to find out who God was by going to the bank of the river in prayer. Or are you a knower of God, a committed follower of Jesus Christ, like Lydia was after hearing the words of Paul come from his mouth about Jesus Christ? There is a difference. A seeker might be thinking thoughts like this: I'm not quite sure about who this God is yet. I don't know if I can quite trust that God's going to do what He says He's going to do in my life. That's a seeker. A knower will know and fully understand what God's going to do with the life. And here's the key word of a knower: trust. I'm going to trust God with whatever I'm dealing with in my life. And it might not be a great situation, but I'm going to trust God that He knows what He's doing. He's going to do what's best for His will and His plan. Might not necessarily be the best for me. And it might bring me to my knees. But I'm going to trust God. Do you see the difference? Lydia was a seeker who became a knower of Jesus Christ. She was curious about this God. She was curious, she wanted to know more about this Yahweh that these women would pray to on the Sabbath morning on the bank of the river. And so that's my question for you this morning. Are you a seeker or are you a knower? And you have to work that out in your own life and try to figure that out. Let's move on to some other points I want to make with you this morning. Lydia's conversion, we see that it was quick and she responded instantly. She responded and heeded the words of Paul. She heard the word of Jesus Christ. It came to life within her by the work of the Holy Spirit working in her life. But what happens next? Remember that they're along the bank of the river. And if you kind of pay attention to Scripture, what happened after she heard the words of Paul? What'd she do? Baptized. And who got baptized with her? Her household. So what do you think must have happened between the time that Paul had a conversation about Jesus and before she became baptized? What do you think she did? Think back to last week. She ran back to her household. What did the woman at the well do in Samaria? Remember that? What happened when she found out that she was talking to Jesus Christ? What'd she do with her water jug? She threw it, and she did what? She ran to her family, to the city, and she began to speak the words of, "This is the Christ. He knows everything about me." This woman, Lydia, she understands through Paul that this is the words of Jesus Christ. She was lit up by the Holy Spirit, and I can just about imagine she left the riverbank, she ran back into Philippi to her house, and she told her servants or her adult children about who this Jesus was. She was excited, and she took all of them down to the river, and they were all baptized. That's quite a faith, isn't it? See, that's the kind of work that goes on in the life of Jesus Christ when he invades somebody's life. That's the power that we can experience and the work that happens through us as well when we can teach people and we can help people understand who Jesus Christ is in their lives. You've got opportunity every day to do that, to share the love of Christ with others. She ran back to her house. Now let me ask you this. If you were living in your house today, and let's say that you weren't a believing family, and you ran back to the house, would your expression be enough to convert everybody in your house? Think about that. Her expression, she was so excited that to share the love of who Jesus was and to understand this faith thing, it came to life for her. What about your life? And I realize there's a whole lot of work of the Holy Spirit that goes on within that. Because obviously the Lord is working in the household of those hearts as well. He's preparing them to understand and to meet who Jesus was. You know, Jesus changed her life forever. And let me talk to you about some of those things that I think is pretty cool that you need to know this morning. Remember I said, you know, this, her life changed your life here today. Lydia started a church in her home in the continent of Europe. What do you know about the continent of Europe? Where do your ancestors come from? Europe. Exactly. The first European church was in the city of Philippi. And from Philippi, in the continent of Europe, the church began to grow in the book of Acts. And it spread across Europe. And it touched Germany. And it touched Holland. And it touched all those other countries within Europe. And eventually, that faith touch churches where? Across the ocean in what country? United States. Isn't that something? Lydia's conversion is the reason that our church is here today through the work of Jesus Christ. Amen, and praise God for that. That's the point I want to make. The church in Philippi is, we are a sum of the church in Philippi. Isn't that awesome? Did you ever wonder how did you come from or where did it start? How did we ever get church here in the United States beyond that was there from Holland? You can go right back to the city of Philippi and the life of Lydia. That's where we came from. some 2,000 years ago, not quite. We also know that Philippi was such a key city within Europe. We know that Paul wrote a letter to the who. In the book of your Bible, the New Testament, we have a whole book entitled what? Philippians. And he wrote a letter of encouragement to the Philippian church. He encouraged them, keep walking in the faith, because they were beginning to fall under persecution for their belief in Jesus Christ. And Paul wrote a letter to the Philippians saying, hold the faith, be strong, pray for each other, continue on. So we're familiar with the city of Philippi. We hear it in Scripture, in the New Testament from time to time. This is where it all started, through a lady by the name of Lydia. She opened up her house, and they began, and they established the first church in Europe in her home. And of course, it grew from there. I'm assuming that at some point they probably built a church where they began to worship in Philippi. And then they went and talked to the neighboring towns, and they started to spread the faith, and that's how things began to spread. Lydia's life was so important. So let me ask you some more questions this morning. Here's another one. Lydia was a key layperson for the church in Philippi. So what is your role in your church? Think about that a little bit this morning, of what God's got on your heart or what he's doing with you. And how might God be able to use you in your church? Because he sure used Lydia. Converted her household, started the first church, began to evangelize others. She didn't wait. It happened right away. She was on fire for God. Some of us could use a little fire, couldn't we? For God. Maybe we're a little dry right now in our spiritual life. You know, think about the city of Philippi and what all happened there and how the church caught on. Let me point out a couple other key things before we wrap up here for this morning. Lydia was a businessman. I told you that. She was devoted to her business, but she was also devoted to God. Now, this is my question for you this morning. Is your life devoted more to God or to your own pursuits in life? That's a good, fair question, isn't it? What ranks higher in your faith walk? Where's God at in your priority list? You might say he's number one, but is that true in your life? Is that what it shows? And so that's a struggle for a lot of people. You're not alone if you're thinking in those thoughts this morning. There's always that constant pull from earthly work or other matters that pull our focus away from God. Right? We learned about what happens when our focus gets turned from God through Martha last week. Right? Things get a little haywire in our lives and we lose sight of God. You know, so think about you as business and in your life. Where is God at in that? Because in Lydia's life, God was first place, and then she ran her business. And then her family probably came next, and then probably somewhere along the line is her business or whatever her job was. Well, think about that in your life as well. We learned that this morning of your priorities in your life. And if you get those out of order, you're going to have some issues in your life. Things aren't going to go well for you. You're going to struggle at things. Here's the second point I want to make with you this morning. When Lydia was transformed, it affected more than just her. Other people's lives were changed by her life changing. So who are those people in your circle of influence, and what are you doing to influence them to a deeper relationship with Christ? Think about who you're going to meet with tomorrow as your coworkers. Think about maybe family. Think about your neighborhood. How are you enticing them to walk closer to Christ in their lives? We learned that from Lydia as well. She spread the good news of Jesus Christ in her life. She probably lived it by example, by the way that she carried out her business from day to day. She probably lived it out by the choices she made, the places she hung out, the things she did, the things she didn't do. the things she maybe said, the things she didn't say in her life. There's a lot to learn from Lydia this morning. Good things going on. And so we should always be looking for ways to move the kingdom forward in your life. And I don't know what those things are. God lays them before you every day. Pray that you see them. Pray that God will open your eyes to them, that you can do your work. You know, Paul showed up at a Jewish prayer meeting, and the kingdom of God broke out. It's quite something. It's still going on yet today. That's pretty powerful. I get excited about that. And now you know that our roots came from that Philippian church as well. That Lydia's life is the one that started where we're at today. So ask yourself, like Lydia, what will you start here in your community? And all of God's people said, amen.